You're listening to Diana's Monster, the story of Diana Edith Harris and the events that transpired on July 23rd, 2016 in the town of Evanston, Texas. These include the disappearance of Martin Cruz and the deaths of Joel and Marlene Harris. My name is Alexander Carter, and I'm picking up the pieces. My connection to Martin? We were lovers. I'll be telling the story as it happens, so if you haven't already, go back and start at the beginning.
She said it like she was just some piece of a human being, a slice.
I want you to do something for me, Joel asked his stepfather. I want you to kill my girlfriend and make it look like an accident.
Things only have value because we give them value. This is a piece of Evanston history.
Mounds of shit. They built a mountain of cow pies. It was the foulest thing I'd ever seen.
He told me he met her at a salon. She was studying to become a beautician. How funny is that? A monster studying to become a beautician?
A woman got out of the car. She grabbed Diana and carried her over her shoulders. It was Lisa Grossman.
Do you remember, was your mother pregnant in 1993?
Yes.
I think I might be her brother.
Tell me about your mother.
Noreen is the kindest woman I've ever known. I never doubted her love for me for a minute. She is my mother.
So then why are you here?
Think of it this way. You're raised your entire life believing in one thing, and then one day it's all gone. Your whole life is a lie. Do you continue living the lie, or do you search for the truth?
Even if the truth is worse than the lie?
It's still the truth. We all deserve that. Wouldn't you agree?
She talked a lot about her daughter. She talked a lot about regret. She talked about her sex drive. She talked for a while, actually.
My dad always accepted me for who I am, but acceptance came at a price, and that price was our bond, I guess. He killed himself 4 months ago.
Things that have no worldly explanation. Something seems too good to be true, it usually is.
So, if I were looking for something or someone and it was right in front of me the whole time, would that qualify as unusual?
Stranger than fiction.
At some point, you've got to decide to believe.
I don't fucking know. Calm her down. What is it?
It's a...
Shit! There was a deer in the middle of the road. I almost hit it. Stupid thing. Oh my god.
Beautiful.
Jesus fucking... Do you see this? Joel, get back in the car. Joel!
On the afternoon of July 23rd, 2016, Marty's 23rd birthday, Marty and Joel Harris rented a moving van to transport the recently rediscovered Marlene Harris, who for years was thought to be dead. Marlene, like Humpty, suffered a great fall. If we keep within our nursery rhyme analogy, all of the best doctors and men couldn't put Marlene back together again. For years, businesswoman Elizabeth Hall was keeping the survival and location of Marlene a secret to ensure the silence of Joel Harris, who claims to have witnessed Elizabeth poison her brother, the philanthropist Martin Hall. Marty came to the town of Evanston in search of his biological parents. While here, he was indirectly responsible for the death of Daniel Richard Gonzalez, a bartender who was the last person to see Marlene before her disappearance. Daniel was accused of Marlene's murder, and he was in deep with a Mexican drug cartel known as the Ganez Brothers, who are allegedly working with Elizabeth Hall to keep the town of Evanston in poverty. Marty also uncovered a conspiracy put into place and maintained by the townspeople to cover up the fire at the Atascosa turkey plant and a simultaneous fire in the woods surrounding Salamander Lake. Ask any townie and the fires are one and the same, but a man named John, who was head of the volunteer fire department back in 1993, claims that the fire in the woods was started by the wrecked car of Lisa Grossman, the best friend of Diana Harris. The factory fire, he claimed, was started by Darren Hickey, a local homeless man who once worked for the factory and had an axe to grind. I'm trying only to stick to the facts, to not indulge in monstrous fantasies. Martin Cruz has been MIA for the last 6 months, while I'm left to clean up the mess in Evanston. There is cause for celebration, however. In the past months, Elizabeth Hall has been indicted for tax fraud and the misappropriation of funds from the defunct Hall Foundation. In a deal made with the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Drug Enforcement Administration, Elizabeth Hall has agreed to testify against the Ganez brothers, who have gone underground. The IRS quickly seized the plot on which the remains of the Atascosa turkey plant sits and auctioned off the land. The factory is undergoing reconstruction. The new owners? Neilani Acrylic, manufacturers of acrylic nails and kits. With the reopening of the factory, an estimated 1,800 jobs are expected to be recreated.
Hello, Mrs. Gibson.
Call me Helen Alexander. You're too kind.
Sorry, Helen. What will it be today? The usual?
I was thinking about some color. What do you think?
Color's good. I like it. What about an ombre? We start dark at your roots and transition into your natural color.
Okay, but nothing too wild. I don't want to look like some old floozy who wears a thong.
You in a thong?
Like I'd ever have the figure.
Helen Gibson, mother of Garth Allen Gibson, who was Diana's friend and boyfriend, has a standing biweekly appointment with me at Cheyenne Silver Salon. We chat about the weather, the news, and the goings-on in the town. Until...
What kind of business is that? You're going to have all these men working to make nails? It's ridiculous.
Well, I imagine a lot of the women don't mind the work.
Nonsense. It's emasculating is what it is. And what is this nonsense about women in the workforce?
I'm not kidding. A number of women are the sole income earners for their families.
Yeah, when the husbands leave them, good riddance, or die. No one ever heard of a stay-at-home father.
Actually, Helen?
Hello, mother.
Helen Gibson turns in her chair.
What are you doing here?
Mom, you didn't tell her?
Tell me what, Alexander? Are you too... No. He has the AIDS, you know.
No, Helen, it's nothing like that. I invited him here.
And why would you do a stupid thing like that?
Mother...
No. Get away from me. Don't touch me. You're disgusting.
Mrs. Gibson.
Mom.
Oh, it's back to Miss Gibson now, is it?
Helen, please, just hear him out.
You look like shit, Al.
So do you, Mom.
What do you want? If it's money, I don't have any.
No, I don't want money, Mom.
Then what?
I'm dying.
That's nonsense. You said yourself that HIV wasn't a death sentence. Should I have not believed you?
It's cancer. Gastric.
How long?
5 years. Maybe more. Maybe less.
It's because of...
Maybe. Probably. My, systems are compromised.
I told you, nothing good will come of this.
Build me a time machine and I swear I'll do what you say.
You could have married a nice girl. You could have made beautiful babies.
It wasn't the sex, Mom. It was needles.
You have a drug problem?
Had. Have. What's the difference? I've been clean for years, though.
Doctor says I'm healthy as a horse.
You look like one, too.
Ha! You're funny. I forgot how you were funny.
Mom, I'm scared.
I know, son.
Garth Allen Gibson reaches out an open hand. He stops short of touching his mother. Sitting in her chair, a black vinyl cape thrown over her, bits of her hair in foil. After a moment, she extends both arms and opens up her hands. Garth Allen falls to his knees, hugging his mother's lap.
I'll give you two some privacy.
Helen Gibson looks up at me from her chair. Her eyes are full of tears. She mouths her thanks as I walk to the back of the salon.
Thank you.
I sat in the bathroom of the salon, staring at my reflection in the mirror. I splash some water in my face and regain my composure. Then I place a call.
Hey, Marty, it's me. I don't know if you'll check this, if you even get these messages, but I wanted to let you know that Helen and Garth Allen are crying together in my salon chair. I wanted to let you know that I made that happen. He has stomach cancer and, I guess, a drug problem. But, yeah. This is Xander, by the way. I miss you.
When I return from the bathroom, Garth Allen is asleep in a chair. His mother flips through a magazine, and I return to the process of dyeing and cutting. We spend the rest of the appointment in silence, and she and Garth Allen leave together. She leaves a large tip. Since his disappearance, I've been reaching out to anyone with whom Marty may have had contact. His mother, Noreen, hasn't heard from him. I don't know of any friends he may have had back home.
Marty was a quiet kid. He kept to himself. He seemed happy in school. Had acquaintances, was invited to parties. But his best friend was his father.
Norman Bates said that a boy's best friend is his mother.
If I hear anything, I'll let you know.
Dr. Cyrus Odell is a researcher at the University of Virginia. He works with the Division of Perceptual Studies under the Department of Psychiatry and Neurobehavioral Sciences. Dr. Odell was interviewed by Marty on this podcast.
How can I help you?
I'm looking for Martin Cruz. You spoke to him about the existence of Diana, the Evanston monster.
Oh yes, I remember.
He's missing.
That's unfortunate.
I was wondering if you've spoken to him recently.
Spoken to? No. He did, however, send me an email.
Can you forward me that email?
Perhaps. If Martin is missing, Did you ever think that maybe he doesn't want to be found?
He made a mess of things here, but things are getting better. You and he talked about doorways, right?
Yes, but it's a little more complicated than that.
Whatever. You said that negative energy could influence a doorway.
I believe I said quite the opposite. Which came first, Alex? The chicken or the egg?
So it doesn't matter.
If a doorway existed in the woods around Salamander Lake, causality cannot be determined. The mere presence of a doorway or weak spot in the fabric of reality might have been the cause of the negative energy in Evanston, or it might have been open because of it. What matters is that the doorway exists, if it does indeed.
I don't understand.
How are things in Evanston these days?
Better.
Why?
Elizabeth Hall was arrested, the guy and his brothers have gone underground, the factory is being reopened. And, not that it matters, but just today a mother and her son reunited after years apart.
How's the air?
It's fine.
Consider this. Any negative energy, feelings of hatred and lust and anger, resultant from an open door might once dissipate if the door were closed. Think of it like a breeze which blows open the door and sends in a chill. When it's closed, cold lingers but warmth eventually returns.
Why would the door have closed?
I don't know. I don't know what opened it in the first place.
If it was ever open.
Right.
Forward me that email, Dr. O'Dell, and let me know if he reaches out to you again.
It takes an hour before I receive the forwarded email from Dr. O'Dell. In it, Marty asks him several questions about relativity and something called the Casimir effect. In his reply to Marty, Dr. O'Dell has simply written, "You can borrow energy as long as you put it back before anyone notices it's missing." What are you doing, Marty?
He's here.
Where?
Home. For days now. He's... not well.
What do you mean?
He doesn't want me to talk to you. Doesn't know I'm making this call.
What's wrong?
I'm not sure. Can you come?
Noreen Cruz is asking for my help. 3 days ago, Martin Cruz appeared in her living room. He let himself in. He was carrying only his laptop. He was dirty, unshaven. I don't know what happened to him, but I'm going to find out. I book a flight to Benson, Arizona, and say goodbye to Evanston. To my home, for now. I have to think Marty would do the same for me. When I arrive at the home of Noreen and Martin Cruz, Noreen lets me in, offers me tea, which I don't accept. Better to get this over with quickly. She directs me to Marty's childhood bedroom. Pictures of Marty align the wall along the staircase, a veritable timeline composed of school portraits. When I reach the second floor, I pause for a moment and continue onward.
Marty, can I come in?
I let myself in.
Marty, it's me, Xander. Your mother called me.
Martin's childhood bedroom appears to have been hit by a hurricane. His unmade bed is covered in mounds of dirty laundry, like a miniature shire. Marty's desk sits before a window. The curtain is drawn. Light seeps in from around the thick sheet. Toy cars and maps sit along the desk. There's a ruler, and several balls of yarn. Marty himself is standing before his closet doors, wearing nothing but a dirty My Chemical Romance t-shirt that doesn't quite fit him. He wears no pants. Or even underwear.
Marty? Marty, are you okay?
I approach him, reach out and touch his shoulder.
Marty, what's going on?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Six.
Six what?
The animals. It's not over.
What's not over? Marty, what are you talking about?
Seuss. Its name is Seuss.
Whose name?
Diana's monster. It has a name.
Marty, we need to get you help. Let me help you.
I saw it. It was beautiful and... and it's gone. The hare and the mare and the sow and the bull. Mother turtle and father ram. Six. There are six of them.
Six of monsters? What are you talking about?
No, not monsters. Gods. It was never about me. Not about Diana. It's not over yet. It's not over.
Marty, what's going on?
The pig. The pig in the parlor.
The pig?
Marty is manic, confused. He's not the same man who first interviewed me back at the salon. Marty points to a map pinned to the wooden door of his closet. On it, there are strings of yarn and newspaper clippings. Marty hands me a postcard.
Greetings from Parla, New Mexico, the world's most magical place. What is this?
The pink. Zeus. Diana's monster. I found her.
You're saying you found the pig in Parlor?
Yes. We need to go after it. It's not over.
What's not over? What are you talking about, Marty?
The hare and the mare, the sow and the bull, Mother Turtle.
And Father Ram, yeah, I heard you the first 100 times.
Parlor. We have to go to Parlor.
Okay, we can go.
Marty has me concerned. I tell him that together we can go to Parla, New Mexico, in search of Diana's monster. But secretly, I want to take him to a psychiatric treatment facility to get him help. He's crazy. I promise his mother that I'm going to get him help, that I have to. What kind of friend would I be if I allowed this to go on? The part of me wants to believe him. The part of me that remembers the level-headed and handsome Marty from Evanston. The Marty I've been holding on to for 6 months. I program my GPS for the nearest hospital, but can't bring myself to have him committed. He would never commit a friend. Whether I believe him or not, something happened to Marty in those woods. I have to help him get to the bottom of this. I put the rental in park and search for a flight to Parla, New Mexico.
Mother Turtle and Father Ram. Yeah, I know. Here we go.
Next season on Diana's Monster.